Good morning. Are we on?
It's quiet.
We're on. Let's try it again.
Good morning.
Oh, that's better. It's good to see everybody this morning. We welcome you to worship at College Park. We're excited to be together. A few announcements we'll make as we get started. First off, we'd like to find out who is in worship today. Very simple process. There are pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests. Take that pew pad, write your name down, give us contact information if you choose. Send it down so everybody has a chance to fill it out on your pew. Once you're done, last person, please send it back. First person, when it comes back to you, please help us tear out the pages that were used today, and our ushers will collect those at the end of the service. Thank you so much for helping us with that. Several things are listed in your bulletin, lots of things happening. Draw your attention to a couple of things. There is no children's time today because of all the other things that are happening in the service, so no children's time. Also, softball is getting geared up. Love for you to be a part of that. Let's see, Mary and then Jason.
You will notice in the choir loft this morning a group of young men. This is Cairo. They are the male a cappella Christian ensemble from Wake Forest. Some of y'all have heard them over the years. They haven't been here in a really long time, and that's completely my fault. And we're going to fix that in years to come. But they heard it was a special day today. And so,
you're going to be...
Blame the preacher. But they're going to help us here.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
They're going to hate me after this, but anyway, we are really glad to have you guys here. We're looking forward to it. You will see a table on your way out this morning that's got some CDs of theirs, and we invite you to help their ministry along by partaking of some of those. Purchasing, maybe the better word. I don't know.
It's tough to follow that. I'm going to ask Raymond and Sandra to join me here for a minute, if they will. 2 weeks ago, in their absence, I talked about them, and I'm going to talk to them, to their face this morning for just a moment. As you've heard the last few Sundays, as I and then Matt have made announcements, this is the 25th anniversary of the Smiths' ministry at College Park, specifically in March of 1992. Raymond and Sandra and Carson moved here as Raymond answered the call to ministry and began a time of service at College Park. I think Ashton was born 3 years later. Four years later. And we have been blessed in so many ways, you two, by your family and by you and your ministry here. I don't have the words to express the gratitude that we have. And Raymond, as I said this morning, on behalf of those that are here, and we're here this morning on behalf of all the different people who have crossed the threshold of College Park Baptist Church over 25 years, we say thank you, and we love you both, and love your family. I like that Jeremy Cobble said this morning after the announcement that this was the first 25 years. I like that. We look forward to the next 25, but we love you. This is a gift for you all, but we love you and thank you.
I told Sandra she was going to have to give a speech, and she left. So there you go. I just wanted to say thank you on behalf of our family. We can't imagine life without College Park. I mean, we've been here longer than we've been anywhere else in our entire life. And it's home, and it's family. And you can talk about family all you want, but it's another thing to experience it. And that's what we've done for the last 25 years. I cannot imagine being anywhere else. I speak with my peers in ministry and listen to them. And I can't imagine church on earth being any better than it is here. And that is about God's presence in God's people. And we're always thankful and always proud to tell people where we're able to serve together. So bless you and thank you very much.
Just to mention, we have a celebration time on April the 2nd. We want you to be prepared for that. Celebrate Raymond and Sandra's ministry here for the last 25 years. It's going to be a night of food and definitely fun. We have some things lined up that you will not want to miss. It'll be a potluck, so bring something that you'd like to share. Maybe even a pound cake or something that you know Raymond likes. Slaw with lots of mayonnaise would be excellent. Would be an excellent choice. But that'll start 4:30 on April the 2nd. And so come and be a part of that that very special night. Other things are listed there in your bulletin. We want you to just make sure you read over those things. We do want to say a special welcome to our guests right now. The ushers are coming down the aisles. If you're a guest, we appreciate the information you gave on the pew pad a moment ago. We'd like to give something to you. Just raise your hand if you're a guest right where you are. The ushers will find you. They'll give you a packet of information. Inside this packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our church. Also, a newsletter that tells you what's happening in the life of our congregation and a little bit of the history of College Park. So, thank you so much for being a part of worship this day. Worship begins and ends with Christ. Without our Savior, there is nothing. He is the one we worship today. By the presence of the Holy Spirit, we thank God, the Creator, who sacrificed His Son on the cross for our sins. So as we prepare for worship, we prepare with a thankful heart, knowing that it's all about Jesus.
There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place, and I know that it's the Spirit of the Lord. There are sweet
Well done. Thank you. Will you pray with me? Father, we know that you are here because we can feel your presence. And Father, as we face another day of questions and personal doubts and struggles, we see you and all of that goes away. Because in the light of the love of Christ, everything else pales in comparison, because we can face dark days. We can face doubts. We can face questions. So come into this place, we pray. Be among us and speak to us. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen.
It is the third Sunday of Lent, and as such, we want to kind of, the reason we kind of changed up the order of the service this morning is because we'll kind of lead right into our time of confession with the scripture lesson that we have. But as I was thinking about Lent, there was actually some guys down at the YMCA that were talking about Lent and what they'd given up, and one of them didn't really know me very well and asked me what I'd given up for Lent. And I told him I'd do it on a week-to-week basis. I add one more thing every week. The first week, I gave up mayonnaise. And the second week, I added to that guacamole. And last week, I gave up cottage cheese. So I'm on that. I don't know exactly what Lord's going to lay on my heart for next week, but I think it's Brussels sprouts. So, you know, between those, and they looked at me with this blank stare. I'm like, man, I'm kidding. I'm not making fun of what you give up for Lent. And then I began to say, you know, I'm all for people giving up stuff for Lent as long as they understand what the motivation for that is. It's to remind them of God's blessings and to remind them to a call to holiness. I said, I kind of prefer to think about it instead of giving up something, it's taking on something. I want to take on the person of Christ. I want Christ to be so evident in my life that people do not have to wonder what makes me tick, if you will. And he said, you know, I never really thought about it that way. So we have a lot of opportunities during the season of Lent when someone asks you about You know, if you've given up something for Lent, share with them. Take that opportunity. If they know enough about it to know that there is a season of Lent, take that opportunity to tell them about your faith. And they open the door, go ahead and kick it in and let them know how you feel about things. But as I was looking at our passage of Scripture for this morning, it comes from Exodus. It is the lectionary. It's the Old Testament lectionary reading for this day. And it is a common passage of Scripture. We've read it probably numerous times. In my study, I went back to some of my staples. I went back to the Interpreter's Bible and kind of read through what they had to say about this passage. I went to the Disciples Study Bible, kind of read through what they had to say about this passage in Exodus 17. Pastor Christopher Holdsworth, I read some of his comments, and I enjoyed reading his perspective on it. And a lot of things, because as you read a passage of Scripture this common, sometimes it's good just to get out of the box a little bit and see where people are coming from in terms of their life application to the text. So let me read the text for you, then we'll jump into it. Chapter 17 of Exodus. It says, "The whole Israelite community set out from the desert of Sin, traveling from place to place as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. So they quarreled with Moses and said, 'Give us water to drink.' And Moses replied, 'Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you put the Lord to the test?' But the people were thirsty for water there, and they grumbled against Moses. They said, 'Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to make us and our children and livestock die of thirst?' And Moses cried out to the Lord, 'What am I to do with these people? They're almost ready to stone me.' The Lord answered Moses, 'Walk on ahead of the people. Take with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. I will stand there before you by the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it for the people to drink.' So Moses did this in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the place Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled, and because they tested the Lord, saying, 'Is the Lord among us or not?'" As you read this, you get the sense that Moses was probably pretty close to the end of his rope. Okay? If you go back and read verse 4, Moses cried out to the Lord, "What am I supposed to do with these people? What am I supposed to do with them? Indeed." He said, "They're almost ready to stone me. What am I supposed to do with them?" What was Moses to do with these people? His people. What was he supposed to do with them? After all, the Lord had heard the cries when they were in Egypt. They'd heard their cries of misery while they were in bondage. Exodus 3, verse 7. The Lord said, "I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering." So the Lord had heard that, and he had sent Moses to them, but believe it or not, these people, it was all Moses could do to convince them to be delivered. They were comfortable in their slavery. More about that in a minute. Because you see, isn't that how we as human beings are? Sometimes we are comfortable in our slavery. Is it human pride that keeps us from admitting that we're in bondage? And you say, "Well, Raymond, I'm not in bondage." Well, maybe you are, maybe you aren't. Consider these. Maybe you're in bondage to material things. Maybe that is your God. That is what you work and that's what you strive for. Maybe you're in bondage to an unhealthy relationship. Maybe you're in bondage to drugs and alcohol. Maybe to unhealthy life circumstances, whatever they may be. What is it that keeps us from denying those things that have us trapped about as far away from God as Satan can push us? What is it? So you see, we're really not that different from the children of Israel, who were more comfortable in bondage than they were in freedom. Well, for Moses, after he was able to at least talk him into leaving, things got worse before they got better, okay? And the people, they had this old moan and complain party. In Exodus chapter 5, verse 20, it says, "When they left Pharaoh, they found Moses and Aaron waiting to meet them, and they said, 'May the Lord look on you and judge you. You have made us obnoxious to Pharaoh and his officials and have put a sword in their hand to kill us.'" So now they're a little bit afraid to leave. But then there were the 10 plagues. There was the Passover. There was the deliverance out of Egypt. There was that whole thing with the Red Sea, the parting and escape through that. All of that, by the time we get to this reading, all of that is behind them. You would have thought they'd have figured it out by now. You would have thought. But the people had complained again in chapter 15. They had complained at the bitter waters of Marah. Moses had cried out to the Lord, and the Lord had provided another miracle. In chapter 15, it says, then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the desert of Shur, and for 3 days they traveled in the desert without finding water. Then they came to Marah. They could not drink its water because it was bitter, thus the name. And the people cried out, seriously? Seriously, Moses, this is it? You brought us to drink this stuff? We can't drink this. Translation, no water. Again, no water. Well, once again, the people gave voice to their discontentment. Shocker there. And they grumbled about not just their circumstances, but now they grumbled at their leaders. In Exodus chapter 16, it says, in the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. Then they grumbled through their leaders at God. Verse 8, Moses also said, you will know that it was the Lord when he gives you meat to eat in the evening and all the bread you want in the morning, because he's heard your grumbling against him. Who are we? You're not grumbling against us, speaking in terms of himself and Aaron. You're not grumbling against us. You're grumbling against the Lord. And yet, the Lord was merciful. He provided for their needs. In verse 4 of the same chapter, then the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. I'd like to have seen that. Wouldn't you? I'd like to have seen that. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. So he provides for them, and at the same time, he provides a test for them, a growing opportunity. So there's this sad cycle then of God's people grumbling against him, doubting his love, doubting his provision, doubting his grace, and then God demonstrates once again, his power and his commitment to them. But in our text today, we get just one chapter later, after all this has happened, just one chapter later, it's happening all again. The people were effectively putting Moses on trial at a place of, yes, you guessed it, no water. No water. Verse 1, the whole Israelite community set out from the desert of Sin, traveling from place to place as the Lord commanded, and they camped out at Rephidim, which there was no water for the people to drink. They demanded that he give them something to drink. And you can understand that. If you're traveling in the desert, you kind of need water. So you can relate at some level with them. But Moses' response was that they were also putting the Lord to the test. In verse 2, he says, so they quarreled with Moses and said, give us water to drink. And Moses replied, why do you quarrel with me? Why do you put the Lord to the test? Why did Moses say that? Because in effect, that's what the people were doing. Moses can't provide water. It's God that provides for our needs. Okay, so let's step back then. Step back emotionally. Let's take a step back and look at this. We can sympathize with their plight, right? If you're wandering around, you've come down of bondage, you never really knew how to be free people, this is a learning curve for you, you're hot, you're thirsty, you're tired, all this stuff. We can sympathize with their plight. But isn't it the case with us as well that we so easily forget God's past mercies? Isn't it true? You know, in this season of Lent, maybe we need to be honest with ourselves and be honest with God, and ask his forgiveness for all those times that we've honestly just taken him for granted. Taken his provision for granted. Or maybe we've been at the point where we just assume that God owes us the privilege of being our Heavenly Father. God, I know you're just so proud to have me. You see, we don't say that, do we? We don't actually verbalize that. If you do, we need to have a conference in my office. We don't actually verbalize that. But our attitudes and our actions, sometimes they reflect that. Oh, God is so blessed to have me. Oh, he is, truly. What do our attitudes and actions say about our relationship with the Father? Back to our story in verse 3. But the people were thirsty. Oh, they were, not just for water. The people were thirsty for water there, and they grumbled against Moses. And they said, why did you bring us up out of Egypt to make us and our children and our livestock die of thirst? Translation, why did you bring us out here to die? We'd rather be in bondage in Egypt than come out here to die. That's what they're saying. And in their impertinence, in our impertinence, we forget past mercies and we forget the present help that God gives us. And quite frankly, when we do that, we say things that are foolish. When we don't have our eyes on God and have the relationship in his proper focus, we say some pretty silly things. Well, Moses had enough. He's all out of fun, okay? He is out of fun with these people, and he turned the Lord to make his own complaint. They've been complaining, and now Moses said, I'll get some of this action. Verse 4, Moses cried out to the Lord, what am I supposed to do with these people? They're trying to kill me. They're getting ready to kill me. What am I supposed to do with them? It is good that effective leaders, when the going gets tough, or perhaps especially when the going gets tough, know to turn to the Lord, right? I mean, we should do that far before we get to this point, but at least when you get to the end of your rope and you're hanging on by the knot, finally we say, Lord, what am I supposed to do? There is no point in getting into fruitless discussions with disillusioned people, okay? It's kind of like teaching a pig to sing. All you do is waste your time and irritate the pig. I mean, there's no reason to do that. So we turn to the Lord. Leaders need to recharge their own spiritual batteries at the source of our strength and seek the answers from the one who has all the answers. And in doing so, we may find out that, like Moses, the answer is already there right in front of us. Verse 5, the Lord answered Moses, go out in front of the people. Take with you some of the elders of Israel and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile and go. He told Moses in part, take that rod. Remember, that's the one you held out at the Red Sea too, and it parted. And then you held it out again and it closed and engulfed the Egyptians. Take that one and do as I tell you to do. I guess, in other words, use what you already have. I've already provided for you. Use that. Use the tried and proved instruments and methodologies of your ministry. Go back to the basics of depending on God, prayer, Bible study, confession before God, seeking His will daily, surrendering everything to Him, everything that you are, everything that you have. And in that path of obedience, the answer comes from God to Moses in verse 6. I will stand there before you by the rock at Horeb, strike the rock, and water will come out of it for the people to drink. So Moses did this in sight of the elders of Israel. Notice it didn't say in front of all the community like before. It's in sight of the elders where they could see up close and personal with their own eyes what had happened. And they could go and tell the community. Gather close, watch what God is going to teach us. And the Lord stood upon a rock, and Moses smote the rock. That's a good King James word there. He smote the rock, and water gushed out. Interesting thing about that rock, the Apostle Paul tells us that that rock was Christ, in essence. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 4, he writes this to the church at Corinth. For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud, and that they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. The presence of God with his people, that same spiritual rock followed them in their wilderness journey. Jesus says, "If any man thirsts, let him come to me and drink." You see, it is our smittenness. I like the word smote, so I'm staying with it. It is our smittenness. It is the stripes of Jesus in which we find our salvation. Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 and 5. "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed." And out of his smitten side, according to John 19, came both blood and water. The water that Jesus gives becomes in us a well of water springing up into eternal life. So you see, God's provision of life-giving water through his Son, Jesus Christ, is clearly documented. He is the living water that satisfies, as he told the woman at the well. He spilled his blood to satisfy the requirement of reconciling us and all of our pride and all of our arrogance, reconciling us to God. So in our text, then, it only remains for Moses, after the demonstration of God's provision, to rename the place where this incident took place. And the two names he spoke there, translated, basically mean testing and quarreling. Verse 7 says, "And he called the place Massah," which means testing, "and Meribah," which means quarreling, because the Israelites quarreled and because they tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" Is the Lord among us or not? The question hasn't changed. You see, that's the question that's before us today. That's what we are confronted with. Is the Lord among us or not? If he is, we need to quit grumbling and complaining and whining about every little thing that we don't like and get busy serving God. Amen? It's time to repent from the pride that keeps us from being used by God in a way that gives glory to him. Repent. We need, rather than focus on what we need to understand it's about him. God gave his only son to demonstrate his love and his commitment to us. He has provided. So what do we do in return? If God gave his all for us, what do we give in return? I think we all know the answer to it. The only mystery is whether we're going to be obedient or whether we're going to remain defiant because of our pride and selfishness. This is the third Sunday of Lent, 2017. This third Sunday of Lent, 2017, can literally be life-changing for us. Or it can be just another Sunday. The choice is clearly ours. Matt, would you come call us into repentance? Confession.
Psalm 32, verses 1 through 6, page 395 in your pew Bible. Psalm 32. "Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy on me. My strength was zapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let all the faithful pray to you, while you may be found. Surely the rising of the mighty waters will not reach them. Let's confess to the Lord. First Peter 2:24-25. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. For by his wounds you have been healed. For you were like sheep gone astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd, the overseer of your souls. Amen.
Pray with me, please. Father God, we come before you today with humble hearts, with grateful hearts. We thank you for all the blessings you bestow upon us. Lord, we ask that you give us strength and courage and confidence to remember that you will feed us just as you do the birds in the sky, that you will clothe us like you do the flowers in the field. We thank you, Lord, for this food. We thank you, Lord, for the blessings you bestow upon us. We thank you for these gifts that we offer, our tithes and offerings today. We thank you for giving us a joyful heart. We ask that you use these gifts to further your kingdom here on earth. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
its flow may richer fuller be. O love that will not let me go, O joy that seeketh me through pain, I cannot close my heart to thee.
My name's Ben. I'm the chaplain for Cairo. I'm just kind of take a quick second to kind of say who we are, just so you guys kind of get to know us better. So we're Cairo, not like the city in Egypt, Cairo. It's Chi and Rho, the two Greek letters. Those are the first two Greek letters, or the first letters in the Greek spelling of Christ. So the reason why we did that, I guess we didn't do it, but a while ago, is because we like to think that is that we are literally and figuratively bearing the name of Christ everywhere we go. So that's something special to us. It's a big year for us. It's our 25th anniversary. So yeah, we're coming out with an album in April, and that'll also coincide with our big concert. A little plug for that. It's April 22nd at 8 p.m. In Wade Chapel. It's free admission, so don't worry about that. But yeah, so we'll be releasing our album on that night as well. So yeah, after the concert, feel free to talk to us. We love to get to know everybody better, so we'd love to talk to you. And thank you so much for having us. The acoustics are amazing. So.
Traveling through this world alone, there is no sickness, toil, or danger in that bright land to which I go. And I'm going there to see my Father. I'm going there no more to roam. I'm just a going over Jordan. I'm only going over home.
Whoa. Whoa.
dark clouds will gather round me, and I know my way is rough and steep. Yeah, golden fields lie just before me, where God's redeemed their vigils keep. And I'm going there to see my mother. She said she'd meet me when I come. I'm just a going over Jordan. I'm only going over home.
I'm going over
home.
I'm going.
I wanna wear.
I looked at Mary and I said, is that all? Is that all? It's a teaser, right? We got to come to the concert to hear. Guys, awesome. Awesome. Thanks for being with us today. And we'll be at the concert. We will be at the concert. Mark it on your calendar. What was the day again?
April
22nd. Pardon? Okay, those of you that are on Facebook, look, type in Cairo, C-H-I-R-H-O, right? And just follow them and you'll have all the information about it. We'll be announcing as we get closer to remind you about it. So come speak a word to them. I think the message today has been pretty consistent. And that is that we are aliens in this land. We're headed for heaven. But while we are here, sometimes we falter. Sometimes we fail. And when we do that, we need the Lord. Amen? We need the Lord. We need the Lord in this journey. And so this morning, the invitation is this. If you're here this morning, and first of all, if you do not have that relationship with Christ, I don't know how you're getting through life, be honest with you. I don't know how you're doing it. But let me assure you, life with Christ is a lot better than life without Christ, because eternally, you'll spend eternity with the Savior. So if you've not made that commitment in your life, I'll be here when we stand and sing in just a moment. And I'd be glad to share with you how you can receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you are here and you've experienced some of this ups and downs of life and some trials and you know that the Lord has walked with you, give Him thanks as you stand and sing. Is it without Him? Great song. Mylon LeFevre, great song. I mean, it's just express your heart to God. Express your heart to God. If there's something you need to confess that you've thought of since we had our time of confession, I mean, the altar here is open. Just pour that out to God where you are, where you're singing. He'll hear your prayer. If you're here and you say, I'd like to be a member of this church, As you've already found out, I've been here 25 years, and many of you have been here longer than I have. So if you will speak to someone around you, I'm sure they can convince you this is a great place to be in worship and to be in service of our Lord. So there are many ways we receive members. I'd be glad to share that with you. Make your decision. We stand and sing together now. Invite you following the benediction and the response. Greet one another. Be sure and greet our guests, maybe guests out here. Greet one another. Offer a word of encouragement. Let me offer this to you as well. After the benediction, we'll seat you for the response, okay? Let's pray together. Gracious Father, thank you. Thank you for the chance to know you, to love you, to worship you, to minister in your name. As we go from this place, Father, place in our path people that need to know about you. Father, place in our hearts a desire to share just what your grace, what your glory is all about. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen. You should be seated.
Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory, to him be glory, and the church has been Christ Jesus, and the bishop throughout all generations. Glory. More than all we ask or imagine.